Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com.
I want you to help me preach today. I want you to make some noise. There's something that speaks to your life. I want you to respond to that word. If I have a cold and I'm speaking, I know that there are people here who can really support the atmosphere. Are you guys ready? Awesome. I'm excited. Okay? Today's title or today's message is something that is kind of confronting and challenging, so please buckle up. I hope that you're ready for this. I pray that your heart is ready. But you know what? When we are challenged, we are transformed. Amen? So if it is a word that you're about to say, you know, this is kind of rough, you know, just hang on because there's some good news coming at the end of it. But what is the title of today? Well, this is something that I felt the Lord speak to me, to my heart. He told me in the presence, he asked me, how old are you? How old are you? And the thing is this, I know that all of us are thinking about age-wise. Jesus, you know, I'm 29. Actually, I'm turning 30 this year. Man, now that I'm thinking about it, the big 30, man. But yeah, man. But God wasn't asking me for my age. God wasn't saying, hey, how old are you? He was asking me about my spiritual maturity, my spiritual age. Because there's many people that aren't growing up, they're growing old. They're not growing up in their spiritual life. And let me tell you something. Let me read it so you don't think that I'm just insulting people here. I want to read it to you in the Bible. Galatians 4:1. Okay? Galatians 4:1. I honestly, when the Lord asked me this, believe me, this preaching was for me. It was for myself. Because I have been dealing with certain things in my own life where when I presented it to God and I said, God, you know what? I'm going through this. I'm still going through that. And these people and those people. And God just said, how old are you? Okay, let's go. Galatians 4:1 says, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is what? Underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Okay, here's something. Why is this so important? Why is it important that God wants you to be spiritually mature? And I'm not just, you know, sometimes we think, but I'm a young person. How can I be mature? I'm in the age of adolescence. I'm young. I can make mistakes. But I want to tell you this, that it has nothing to do with your actual age. It has everything to do with how your heart is surrendered to God. You know, it's not about how old you are, because in fact, I don't know if you can also, you also know these cases where there are people who are 50 years old and still act like children, right? You've seen that. And then there's young people who have more maturity than those old people. So it has nothing to do with age. In fact, God said to Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, don't let anyone look down upon your age. Yes, you are a young person, but you are a chosen young person. And all you have to do is just obey what I tell you to do. And that's spiritual maturity, surrendering to God. Okay? So I want us to be spiritually mature. Why else? Why do I have to be spiritually mature? Well, let me tell you this. That God, the Bible says this, that we are all children of God. You know, the moment that you accepted Jesus, we became his children. That means if you are a child of God, you inherit everything your father owns. That's the way it is. And what does my father own? He doesn't just own a little farm out there in the north. He owns the universe. My father's the owner of all silver and gold and wisdom and riches and wealth and blessings and healings. He owns it all. And so if I want access to that inheritance, listen to what Paul is saying here. He says this. He says, for as long as you are underage, or another word is this, as long as you are immature, you will be the same as a slave. Even though you are the owner of the whole estate. That is, when I accept Jesus in my heart, you automatically become owner of the riches that God has given to you. But you have no access to it until you are mature. Why? Because when you are underage, you can wreck the inheritance that God can give you. What happened to the prodigal son? Well, this is a story where there is a master who has a lot of wealth, and one of his sons wants to have his inheritance right away. And in fact, he was already of age, and I believe that's why he was asking, "Hey, I'm of age, man. Please give me my inheritance." But the issue was this: he was spiritually mature. And so when he was given what was supposed to be his, that inheritance, he went and spoiled it. So what are the things that does not make you spiritually mature? Because sometimes we look at a person. We already talked about it. Age. Age does not make you spiritually mature. Okay? That's number one. Age does not make you spiritually mature. The second one is this: credentials do not make you spiritually mature. Only because you have the title reverend doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. Only because your title is prophet doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. Your credentials say nothing. In fact, there are people with diplomas and degrees and still acting like children in their life. Still making childish decisions, okay? There are some people with a marriage certificate, but they're still spiritually immature. So the question here is this: so if it's not credentials, if it's not age, and if it's not title, and let me tell you another thing, it's also not assets. Assets do not make you spiritually mature. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we look at a person who has a lot of wealth, it doesn't automatically mean that they have godly wisdom. How many of you guys have seen athletes, for example? There are athletes who make how many millions of dollars after one game? And how is it possible that some of them go broke after? From going to millions to going broke. Why? Because they have the millions, but they don't have the wisdom. They don't have the spiritual maturity to be able to handle that. And it's the same way with God. There are some things He wants to give to you. There are things that He wants to bless you with. There are actually gifts. Some of us have been asking God, "Help me to get in deeper into the prophetic." But unless you surrender that tongue of yours that gossips, you will not be able to be used by God deeper in the prophetic. You need to mature yourself spiritually. Amen. God is waiting. He has all these gifts. The revival is in you, but there's a need of mature people to birth out that revival. Because guess what? Underage cannot birth things out. It is maturity that allows us to reproduce. It is until you are mature that you can reproduce. And so what God wants you to be is spiritually mature so you can reproduce the spiritual and bear good fruit. Amen. Are you guys following me so far? Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So we already said duration, assets, credentials, titles. Those don't make you spiritually mature. Okay. And so I felt that when God was asking me this, He was saying, you know what, how old are you? You know, how old are you? Because I was dealing with some things that really I had to reflect on myself. And I said, you know what, this is like some, I don't know, like this is some, what are those movies called? Mean girl stuff, man. Like I'm not at that level anymore. I'm not in that the Freaky Friday type of like level of problems, or you know. some of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's a good movie. Watch it. But you know, I'm not dealing with those types. I shouldn't be dealing with those types of problems anymore. Why? Because God has asked me to be spiritually mature. But what does that mean? Okay, let me explain or identify what are like spiritually immature symptoms. Okay, and I don't want you to be thinking about someone else, because as I start naming these things, you're in your mind, you're already thinking about that other brother or sister in Christ. But I want you to really reflect on yourself. Okay, no pointing fingers, no mental notes on a person. Think about yourself. Okay. This is what makes a person spiritually immature, okay? First of all, let's read in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But look at this. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Let me tell you something. Number one is this. A boy reacts. A man acts. A boy reacts. A man acts. Okay? Oh, sorry. Children react. Grown-ups act. Amen. Sorry, I had to. And here's the thing that, you know, when you look at a child, you know, everything, you know, they are completely, you know, dependent on the circumstance. Something goes wrong and then they just respond. You know, when my son feels hunger, then he just starts crying. And so that's what it is. But when you're a grown-up and you're hungry, do you start crying? Of course not. You get your butt to the store, buy some meat, bring it home and cook it yourself. That's what you do as a grown-up. Amen. But so a child reacts, a grown-up acts, okay? Taking action. That also goes with the church as well. You know, at church, if you are a child, look, and let me put this parenthesis. If you are a child spiritually, then it's okay for you to act like a child because you're a child. But if you have 10 years at church, you're not a child anymore. It's inappropriate for you to act like a child anymore. Amen? Yeah, so if you're a child spiritually, well, it's okay. We have the patience for you. We'll change the diapers. We'll raise you up. It's all good. But if you're a child, it's okay to act like a child. But grown as a grown up and still acting like a child, those are the issues. Now, what the Apostle Paul says is this. I want to put away childish things. Okay? To think like a child and to reason like a child. When I look at my son, I see all of these like childish things. Number one is this. So when I look at Xavier and I see a toy on the ground, you know, and he's not playing with it. And you know, he's ignored it. He's not even touching it or playing with it or giving it any attention for a while. But as soon as I pick it up, he starts yelling, "Mine, mine, mine." And he wants it. You know, and that's how children are. That when somebody has something, even when you haven't been paying attention to it, suddenly you want it. Suddenly you want it. And it's the and I tell you that this goes for everything, you know. That mentality of like mine, mine, mine. You think that, you know, just because someone is on the drums, it doesn't mean that you can't be on the drums anymore. You can't just be thinking, but that was my spot, but that was for me. Or only because there's someone else preaching now that now I can't be a preacher. Only because Miguel was anointed an elder, that means that I can't be an elder anymore. Let me tell you something, that God has separated your title, your function, your position just for you. Just for you. And no one's going to take it. So you don't have to worry or be frustrated for what doesn't belong to you. God has something for you. Amen. Same thing with your job. Someone else got the job. Well, okay, that wasn't the job for you. God has the one for you specifically. Amen. Same thing with a girl or a boy that you've been liking or thinking about. Someone took that person. Well, they're the Lord's, okay? That they're not yours. Well, wait. Yours is coming. Amen. Okay. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that one, but okay. It's still the truth, though. All right. Okay, so what does immaturity look like? So people who just say, mine, mine, mine. Another one is this. Someone who is easily offended. If you are a person that is easily offended, they didn't say hello to me today, and that wrecks you, okay? That's one thing. Or, you know, you're easily offended. You can't be confronted. People can't joke about you. You know, it's easy for you to joke about people and roast others, but when it's your turn, you can't handle it. You can't take jokes. You can't deal with people, you know, not inviting you to places, or, you know, criticism destroys you, or when you're not recognized or applauded for a good job that you did, you know, that offends you. So if you're a person who gets offended easily, let me tell you that you are having symptoms of a spiritually immature person. And we need to grow up. And there's ways to grow up. And I'm going to tell you how. But here's some more. If you're someone who doesn't forgive, you are spiritually immature. Someone who holds a grudge is someone who is spiritually immature. And let me tell you that unforgiveness is super, super dangerous. Unforgiveness is so dangerous. Having bitterness in your heart is so dangerous. And let me tell you why. When a person has unforgiveness in their heart, they stop growing up. They stagnate. They pause. Because you cannot go forward in life. You cannot grow up spiritually because you are stuck at what that person did to you, of what that person said to you, of what that person criticized you or gossiped to you about. And you know what happens? You pause in your spiritual life. You don't grow up. You know, my dad was actually telling me this as I was talking to him. He actually told me of cases, of real psychological cases, where there are people that when they go through a trauma in their childhood, that when they grow up, they don't grow up from that stage of life. They grow up still acting like children because they can't go over the fact of that trauma that they went through in childhood. Can you imagine that? Because the trauma was so severe that they couldn't let go of that. They couldn't comprehend it or go through it emotionally, that they are stuck in that same age mentally. Well, I tell you the same thing, that through a spiritual trauma of someone having criticized you or offended you or done something really bad towards your life, if you don't let that go, you will remain in that status. That person that may have offended you, 10 years later, they can be already used by God in miracles, signs, and wonders and already doing great things, but you will be in the same place because you haven't moved on. Your spiritual age has been stuck because of unforgiveness, okay? It stunts your growth. The next thing is this. A person who is spiritually mature is unstable. They have what the Bible says. James says this. They have double-minded people. That sometimes they're happy. Sometimes they're sad. Sometimes they're passionate. Sometimes they're discouraged. And it's constant, a different type of person. And man, by the time it's Sunday, I don't know which one of you is going to show up. You know? We just don't know because you're always double-minded, always shifting your desires and your passions. And so this is an issue that you become a person that is spiritually immature. So that is another symptom. Another one is this, unstable in your emotional life. You're constantly battling with emotions. It's quick for you to get angry. You know, someone says something and you already get upset so fast. Okay, or something happens in life and quickly you jump into perhaps struggling with depression because our emotions aren't surrendered to God yet. Okay, the next one is this, unstable in their commitments to work. You know, I don't know if, you know, obviously we change our workplaces. You know, sometimes we go from one workplace to another for a promotion or whatever it is. But there are also people who are constantly moving from workplace to workplace, from church to church. Or perhaps moving constantly from relationship to relationship. Or they're constantly moving from city to city. And it's a constant movement because they are not stable emotionally. And they find problems everywhere they go. You know, and this is something that I always say. If you're always finding problems wherever you go, you know, the issue is you. Because you are wherever you go, right? That's the common denominator. That's the symptom. Okay, so that instability, you know, shows spiritual immaturity. Okay, in Hebrews 5:11, if someone can put it up on the screens, I really want to read this one for you. Hebrews 5:11. This is one that Apostle Paul says that shows where you are in your spiritual life. Okay, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Okay, I hope this is the one. Yeah, let's go to verse 12. Yeah, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. By now you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now imagine this, the Apostle Paul was ready to pour out some like crazy revelations over this church, okay? He was about to pour out like the craziest stuff, But he's like, man, I cannot give you solid food because you're still at the level where you need milk. And let me tell you this, how do you know where you are in your spiritual maturity? It's whether you can handle meat messages. And what do I mean by that? For example, today's message, I would say, is a meat message. Why? Because it's confronting people. It's challenging people. If after today you're saying, you know what, this is just too tough for me, well, I want to tell you, maybe the meat, you can't handle the meat, and that should probably determine for you whether you are a person who can handle, sorry, whether you're a person who is spiritually mature or not. But if you're saying, you know what, I can stomach the meat, then you're already on your way to being a spiritually mature person. Amen? Milk is good for an infant. It is appropriate to have milk when you are younger. But as you get older and older, then it's inappropriate for you to still be fed purees. You know, my son used to eat purees. You know, they literally had like these like pureed like vegetables and fruits. And they were actually good. You know, I tasted some of them. I'm like, this is actually really cool. Really good. But the reality is this, that if a grown-up was stuck with just eating the purees, you can actually die. It's not good for you because it doesn't have the substance that you need for your level of maturity. And so it's in the same way, you know? You must become spiritually mature. Why? Because God has great substance ready for you. He has great riches. He has great knowledge. He has great wisdom to impart over your life. But you can only receive them if you grow up. Amen. Okay, so let's get another few. So in Ephesians 4:14, you don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it for you. Paul says, then we will know. Paul has a lot to say about this topic. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be infants. What are infants? Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Okay, here's something. Infants or spiritually immature people are easily influenced by anybody. By anybody. Anyone can come into your life and influence you to make a decision that you never felt in your heart to do. And here's the thing, unless you are spiritually, maybe when you are a spiritual child, maybe people can tell you any different doctrine or tell you anything and you wouldn't know. But as you grow up in your spiritual life, anyone can come in front of you and tell you, hey, you know, this, this, and that. And you'll tell them, no, this is what I received and this is what I know. This is the God that I've experienced. Someone can appear in front of your face and say, you know what, I don't believe that God is a God of miracles today. You can tell them, no, I've seen God do miracles right in front of me. Because you have grown up spiritually receiving that type of knowledge. Amen. Okay? So here's something, okay? I want to be clear, because I know that some people are probably thinking, you know what, but what about that verse where Jesus says this, Pastor, that we must be like children. We must be like children. He points to children. He says, hey, my disciples, all of you guys are old geezer hearts. I want you to be like children. But Pastor, you're telling me not to be like children, and Jesus is telling me to be like children. Let me explain this. This paradox. It is this: Jesus never asked you to be childish; he asked you to be like children. There's a big difference there. He didn't ask you to be childish and do childish things. He asked you to have a heart of a child. That is what's necessary for the kingdom of God, okay? I'm going to be finishing off with this concept, okay? That is what God wants, the childlike heart. And why is that? Let me tell you some things about children, okay? Children, they imagine. You know, children, you can start talking to them about, like, different things, and they start imagining it in their minds. You know, you tell them, hey, you know, right now we're going to be flying. You know, with my son, you know, I pretend I'm like I'm a tickle monster. And literally he starts running away, yelling. And he just has that imagination. But now that we're grown up, we don't have the imagination anymore. Now if I told you, hey, I'm the tickle monster, you're like, call the cops, man. Right? Like, we don't have the imagination. Oh, man. All right. Children, imagine. So God is asking us to imagine, have the imagination. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, it requires him to tap into your imagination, into your dreams. Okay? Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Children are quick to forgive. You know, after one fight, they're like, you know, they're like, Daddy, I hate that person. And then the next day, they're playing with them again. You know, because for them, they're quick to forgive. They're quick. You know, sometimes my son gets upset at me, but he's quick to forgive. All of a sudden, then he's smiling and laughing. And children are just like that. And God wants you to be like that. But us adults, oh, we never forget. Especially your spouse. Well, she never forgets if you've done something wrong. You know, they never forget. As adults, we don't forget. No, I love my wife. Not really my wife. No, she's not like that. You know, we're, as adults, it's hard for us to forgive. The next one is this, okay? Children are super transparent. Too transparent sometimes. Man, if you have bad breath, that child will tell you that you have bad breath. It's true. Man, children have no filter. They're transparent. They're honest. They're just honest to what they're seeing. Man, I remember there was a season in my life that I was going through a lot of acne, and kids would point it out. Like, they would look at me and, what's that on your face? It would make you feel bad, but they're super transparent. But us as adults, we're very reserved, and we don't like being open, not even about our own problems, okay? Children are carefree and worry-free. That's a good one. Children are worry-free. They don't have to worry about who's going to feed them tomorrow. They don't worry about that. They're like, who's going to pay rent, Daddy? No, they're not asking that. They don't care. They're worry-free, and that's how God wants us to be, because Father has the bill. You know, he takes care of it all. All we have to do is just simply enjoy his presence and be with him, worry-free. Amen. And here's another good one. Children are not ashamed to ask. They're not ashamed to ask. They'll see something and they'll be like, I want that. Please, I want that. And not only that, but they're insistent. They're insistent about that. They get annoying. They make a show. They cry in the mall in front of everyone, making you feel like you're a bad parent. And you want to buy it for them. And you're forced to. But that's what God wants us to be like children, not ashamed to ask, okay? And be insistent. Another one is this, and this, oh man. Children don't ever worry about reputation or image. Do you ever see a child, you know, worrying about their popularity and image? No, the clothes they wear is what the parents put on them. Yeah, growing up, I didn't care what my mom would put on me. She would put Mulan, like shirts and stuff, man. They were hand-me-downs. They would put whatever on us, and it's okay. We didn't have an image to uphold, man. And that's how God wants us to be. People aren't worried about our image, about what we look like, about who likes us, dislikes us. No, just be yourself. Not ashamed. Sellers shoes. Amen. Yeah. Oh, what? All right. And here's there's a lot of them, but I just want to finish off with this last one. Okay? Children are curious and inquisitive. Yeah, they're always asking why, but why, but why? Children are curious. They want to try new things in life, but you know what adults are like? Adults are the type that say, oh, I've already done that already. I already know that. Oh, I've gone through that already. But children, they're brand new. They're like, hey, House of Peace, man, I want to try that. Discipleship, I want to try that. Hey, prophetic, man, cool, I want to receive that. But adults, oh, I've gone through that already. And so we must be like children, not childish, not spiritually mature, worrying about who offends you or holding grudges. No, be like children. That's what God is asking you to be. Have the heart of a child, okay? Man, I'll leave it right there. And if I can get the piano guy as well to come up here. Man, I really want to put this in our minds. This same question that God had asked me. He asked me, how old are you? And I want to ask you the same question in this moment. I don't want you to respond. It's not your age that I want to know. It's your spiritual temperature, your spiritual age, your maturity in your spiritual life. How mature are you? And like I said, it has nothing to do with duration. Maybe you've been a Christian for maybe many, many years. Maybe you were born in a Christian family. But that has nothing to do with your spiritual maturity. I don't know if you still get offended. I don't know if you're someone who still has, oh man, thank you, God. Here's something. Some of us, you know, as we grow up, trends tend to change. Things that we do tend to change. Even words that we say change. You know, if I start pulling out some words that were popular when I was growing up, you're going to be looking at me funny, you know, words that I used to say in high school, you know, or even perhaps right now, the words that you are saying right now, the street words, you're going to look 20 years from now and you're going to be like, oh my God, I used to say that. Man. Yeah. You know, no, I'm not going to say anything. No, I'll leave it right there. Whatever. Things go out of trend, man. Oh, man. But things go out of trend. And so I want us to understand this, that as we grow up spiritually, there are some things that are going to be outdated. That God is saying, man, that's outdated. You just got to, that vocabulary is outdated. Let that go. It doesn't suit you anymore where you are spiritually. There are some excuses of yours that are outdated now. There are some things that you used to blame on people, the same language saying, but they did that to me. That's outdated language now, man. There's something else that needs to pour out of your heart and your mouth now. There's a new spiritual maturity. I'm feeling something so strong in the atmosphere. There are some people that are right now learning that they want to become like the perfect person that there ever was, which is Jesus Christ. And if we become like him, we become the perfect man, the perfect maturity. Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to think like you. We want to act like you. We want to talk like you because you are the perfect man. Let me tell you how. The way that you are transformed is by being best friends with someone that I want to introduce you today. And he is called the Holy Spirit. If he becomes your best friend, he will show you how to become spiritually mature.